Welcome to Sports Central. I'm Rick Drewer.
I'm Phil Fechner.
Well, Phil, it seems as though things have hit the proverbial fan in England with, you've told me that Ben Stokes' English Test cricket has got off. Is that
well,
right?
Well, I believe that's what I heard this morning on Triple M, Rick, that charges, yeah, I'm not sure I didn't get the detail of it, but I think you've got a little bit more there now.
Well, the thing that amazes me is that I was interested. I hadn't heard that the decision had been made. I had been made aware, though, that his defence lawyer, Ben Stokes' defence lawyer, that is, in his summing up to the jury, suggested that, and, you know, maybe there's making, putting one and one together and making three. But Alex Hales, who's perhaps arguably the best one-day cricketer in the English squad, and a mate of Ben Stokes, was actually part of the whole scene.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of that.
No, I wasn't either. But the amazing thing is that Ben Stokes is the one who got booked by the Bristol police, I think it was, for assault, and Alex Hales didn't get a mention. And in this defence summary, evidently, the defence lawyer for Ben Stokes suggested that the video evidence showed that Alex Hales was certainly, seemingly, I think is a good word, stomping and kicking the two guys who were assaulted. And he was suggesting to the court, and I guess the jury in particular, that they could not possibly find or know what damage or lack thereof that Ben Stokes caused, in the sense that Alex Hales was obviously contributing to the situation.
He stumbled or something.
Well, he could have just fallen over at the time. But obviously now that the decision's been handed down, that the defence lawyer must have hit the nail on the head by claiming that perhaps no one could confidently prove that Ben Stokes was the culprit. I guess you could then go backwards and say, well, how come Alex Hales didn't get booked as well?
Well, and what's he done? He's dobbed Hales in now, basically. So I wonder how that'll go if they play one-day cricket together now.
Well, that was the suggestion, that whether this has caused any trauma in the change room. However, it may well be that they've actually talked to each other, and I guess I'm no lawyer, but if all of a sudden, if that's the big word, if they turned around and charged Alex Hales for assault, then his lawyer could use the same argument that didn't we see Ben Stokes causing some. So it seems as though, you know, they quite often say that it's not whether you're innocent or guilty, it's how good a lawyer you've got. And it would seem to me that that's a pretty smart move from Ben Stokes' lawyer. And I think it's even cleverer, if that's the correct English word, that he held it back to the defence summary at the end, because if he perhaps revealed it during the court case as such, the prosecution may well have tried to get around it somehow or other. But so, you know, you can only be found guilty or not guilty once. So Ben Stokes is off at least.
Well, it'll be interesting now with the Stokes then goes back to try and sue English cricket of missing out on the Ashes series out here, and, you know, for probably lack of funds or whatever. I mean, that's all in the, could be all in it too, couldn't it?
Gee whiz, you've opened a hornet's nest now, haven't you?
I mean, that's the way it goes these days. You know, as soon as they're found guilty of something, they get off. Right, now it's my turn to you know, sink the boots into them.
Well, I certainly hadn't thought of that, but it is a possibility, of course. I mean, maybe, I mean, I guess the reason that the English selectors chose not to run Ben Stokes in Australia was the image.
To let us win.
That was the image that they didn't want to have a bloke who'd been arrested and was going to trial.
And however, that's fair enough.
But I suppose I could make a sort of touchly sarcastic comment by saying that doesn't seem to have stopped Norwood Football Club, does it?
We're harping on that one. We're still waiting for the verdict, aren't we, on that?
Well, I mean, the inconsistency, I guess, is that Ben Stokes was charged with assault. Josh Glenn has been charged with assault. The English Test team has chosen not to select him, but the Norwood Football Club have chosen to select him. So not Stokes, but Josh Glenn. And so there's inconsistency all over the place, isn't there?
I mean, how they see it. And
and I think there's a public relations thing there, isn't there? I mean, that, you know, sort of, I guess, the decision if you're not going to run. I mean, let's make this quite clear. I'm not suggesting that either, you know, you're innocent until you prove guilty.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so it would seem that Ben Stokes has now been proved innocent and Josh Glenn is innocent.
Well,
unless he's proved guilty.
That's right.
Yeah. So exactly. I think we've cleared that up for anyone who thinks that we're preempting the decision.
Yeah, I wasn't actually there when Josh was out on the footpath or wherever it happened, so I can't, we're only what we've heard, isn't it?
And that's right. And the fact is that just because you've been charged with something doesn't mean you are guilty.
Yeah, exactly right.
You know, it goes to court. Changing the subject to something a little more interesting and complimentary, have you heard about the Starplex Swim Club, Phil?
No.
Oh.
No, I have.
Have you?
I see they won an award.
They have been named Swimming SA's 2017 Swim Club of the Year.
Swimming's not one of my, you know, sort of real high, sporting followings.
Oh, isn't it? That's when you jump in the water and
try
to
drown
you.
Yeah, I had a pool in the last house, but yeah.
Gee whiz, I don't know. Anyway, it's actually a great compliment considering that the number of swim clubs there are in South Australia, and the method by which they're chosen. It is rated on the number of memberships, the corporate governance of the association, their skills in officiating, in athletics performance, and coaching and the community. So it's a number of requirements there to be considered in making the award, and it's great for Starplex at Everston to be given it.
No, it's good on them.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So
I mean, it's a real achievement. You wouldn't have thought, you know, with some of the, you know, the big swim complex at Marion, I know, so obviously beating them, so good on them.
Yes, so well done, Starplex Swim Club. Okay, let's get to some local footy.
Local footy, hey?
And I think, although we've actually touched upon it, the saga goes on with Willesden, but I think we should clear up for our listeners where it stands at the present time. What's your understanding, Phil?
Well, there's a meeting on the 22nd.
Wednesday the 22nd.
Which is next week.
Yep,
Adelaide Oval. I really haven't heard a heck of a lot since last week about it. But
well, I guess for those who perhaps didn't hear our last show, it's all to do with the SANFL Community Football League, who've handed down and made assessments of Willesden. And the charges relate to the alleged upfront payment of former senior player Josh Glenn for seasons 2016 and 18, totaling $3,000. Now, let it be said from the start that I think it's pretty important to note that what at this moment they're appealing is that they've been stripped of 6 premiership points and been fined $10,000. And they'd also stand to lose 3 allocated points. Now, that's a bit of a...
Well, that's the part that's going to hurt them, because it's all about recruiting for next year.
Approved player points system for seasons 2019 and 20. Now, that's a bit like the draft and being penalised, isn't it? Sort of.
Yeah.
Now,
yep.
They're appealing it. Now, it seems to me, and this is not straight from the horse's mouth, Phil, but it's reasonably reliable, that part of the appeal concerns that Willesden feel that they have been harshly treated because, in fact, Josh Glenn didn't play for them this season at all. They've been penalised. Now, I guess you and I might argue that the penalty is there to as a disincentive for others to carry on the same way. But Willesden's looking at it from the point that if anything, they weren't advantaged by what's happened. They were disadvantaged because they'd signed Josh Glenn.
And sacked him.
And it was so late in pre-season that it didn't give them the opportunity to recruit an equivalent player. And so, in fact, they would probably argue that they were a top player down. If we forget for a moment the way that they got hold of Glenn, the fact that they fired him for reasons that we've talked about already, an alleged incident at a local establishment, they would argue that it's harsh. The funny thing is, I think we've mentioned that 6 points lost. I mean, I think you're right that the player point system is the major one that they're going to miss out on, because it seems as though the 6 points aren't going to matter much, because as we speak, they're at the top of the premiership table. And even if you take off the 6 points, they're going to finish in the top four.
Oh, can't not make the four. Cannot not make the four now at all. That's signed, sealed and delivered now, that the four.
So Shawnee Baker, legend at Williston, takes over the
could
side.
Could be a premiership coach.
He could not only be a... He's two out of two so far.
Well,
that's 100% record. That's all you can do. And, you know, it was a... I mean, 35-point win against Kapunda. Now, I know Kapunda aren't the greatest side going around, but I have never, Phil, in all my life, been at a worse oval in condition than Kapunda.
Because Kapunda normally hangs on all right, like the condition.
Well, honestly, it was a mud bath. The only thing missing were the wrestlers. That's all that was missing. After about the first 5 minutes, and I think you've seen some photographs of the game.
Yes, yeah,
after the first 5 minutes, you could hardly tell which team was which. I mean, Williston's white shorts were, that's a joke, because they became black instantly. And red and blue and...
I've got to admit, I'm just looking at the photo here. It's a bit of a Guernsey clash there,
exactly.
I would think.
And throw in the mud. Honestly, it was really hard. In fact, I'm not going to name the players, but there were two Kapunda blokes. One took the other one out, and I think he thought that the one he took out was a Williston bloke.
Unbelievable. That's a distinct Guernsey clash, I would have thought.
It was shocking. But while we're on that game, I do want to... thank Warren, Kapunda's timekeeper, who came to my rescue. I actually covered the game and I didn't know what I was going to do. It was just, the conditions were shocking. And I was invited by Warren into the sanctity of the timekeeper's box. How nice is that?
And I believe a bit of an afternoon tea as well.
And I was given the courtesy of being invited to afternoon tea. What
he
more?
He has looked after you.
I'm going to try to go to Kapunda every game. Next season, I'm going to have to talk to the people that send me away, and I'm going to go to Kapunda. Anyway, it was shockingly muddy.
Yeah.
So we've digressed a little bit there.
Yeah.
If you want to go through this week's selections.
I'll quickly run through last week's, because two upsets there. Rick, Freeling beat Newry quite comfortably at Freeling. Would have been a mud pit over there, I would have thought, too. Freeling Oval doesn't normally hold up very well.
And the biggest shock of all.
Well, where are they gone? Where's our Barossa Districts gone?
No,
gone?
No, they're not gone. I've expressed a theory, and it didn't eventuate at the Kapunda Oval, but I am still convinced, and I've been around football for a long, long time, that mud, wet, windy conditions are a huge disadvantage to the favoured team. Now, you know, it's hard to explain how Barossa could have got knocked off by Gawler Central except for the conditions. And the only way I can explain it is that, you know, when you've got a close game, you know, 3-5 to 3-7 or something, in the mud when the ball doesn't roll, you know, an umpire's decision at a crucial time can be the difference. Now, I'm not suggesting that either of those two results were the result of umpires, but decisions. But, it, you know, weird things happen in those conditions. And so I think
absolutely. I think Barossa, my tip for the flag still is, looking at it, still, I still tip Tanunda.
Right. Well,
Tanunda to win the flag.
Well, if we're going through the games, and I think pre-discussion, we're going to have three differentials here. if you go through those games for this week.
Okay, we'll go through this week's games. We've got Angaston v Kapunda.
Kapunda will comfortably
Angaston
win.
Angaston is my tip.
There you go, right.
Central versus Tanunda.
I believe while we're on Ango, they've lost their coach for next year.
Yes, he has. He's. I think he's tipped to go down to Glenelg. He played 190 league games for Glenelg.
Right.
And I believe he's going down there as an assistant next year. Right, well,
the Bays will only have to win two games and it'll be more than Angaston. Anyway, go on.
Okay, so we've got Gawler Central versus Tanunda.
Gawler Central and Tanunda, again, they may need to enlarge in the scoreboard.
Tranberth could kick his 100 this week.
He could.
18 he needs. And he might need 2 weeks, I think. But anyway.
No, Tanunda easy.
Yep, but yeah, Tanunda for me. Newry v Barossa, the game that you are covering, the match of the round.
It is the match of the round, and ye of little faith, Philip, Barossa will win.
Newry at home. South Gawler versus Freeling at South Gawler.
South Gawler will win that game as well.
Freeling for me.
Well, there we go, team. That's three out of three. Four. We have a differential.
We only go on Tanunda's, the only one we agree on this week. Just quickly, Rick, I'm just looking through, and all the top fours, bar the under-17s, are the only ones that can change. And there's four teams vying for fourth spot there, which is Williston, Barossa, Newry, and Angaston. But otherwise, all the other grades are two or three games clear. So the fours have actually signed, sealed, and delivered, other than the 17s, which is interesting. Normally, there's...
It's a
couple
closer,
of grades,
Well, I mean, the only thing you can say is that possibly the fours are decided, but the order in which they finish isn't necessarily decided. I mean, that's the one thing with Williston. Even though they're on top, and we're talking A grade again now, although they're on top, if they lose
they're
their
back
6 points...
16 points, which is equal with Freeling and... Oh, no, South are only 14. But
yeah, but what they won't do is have the double chance because they won't finish one or two.
But their percentage is just through the roof compared to the others. Yeah. So eventually a game clear with percentage. So.
Now, just before we finish, we better have jokes.
Have you got a couple there?
Did you hear about the poor bloke who had a horrible death? He died a terrible death. He swallowed a complete set of billiard balls and snookered himself.
Oh, no. Oh.
And the other one, you like that one? Shall we go one more quickie?
Yeah, one more
quickie. You know, quite often you hear these footy supporters, you know, that are watching a game and you hear them talking and you realise that not all the ding-a-lings are on the Mr. Whippy truck.
Oh, no. I don't know whether either of those were... passed by a producer, but we'll hear about it later.
Well, we will, because we didn't run them past it to start with, which is a bit of a danger. But anyway, there you go. Well, we've really gone over time. We've had a bit of fun. I hope you've enjoyed it. Until next week, this is Rick.
This is Phil.